We're going to look at Mark chapter 7, the conclusion of this chapter. We saw last time the way in which the Lord brought healing to this woman, whose daughter, as she looked to Christ in faith. And now we're going to see that as Jesus leaves the region, he meets with a man who was both deaf and who had a speech impediment. So we're here in Mark chapter 7, and I begin reading at verse 31. This is the word of the Lord. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So far in God's word, let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, I ask this day that you would be present by your Spirit, that you would indeed give us ears to hear, eyes to behold, and tongues to proclaim the great deeds that you have done. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm sure there's probably been a time in your life when you have confided in another, perhaps a good friend, or you wanted to tell somebody something, but you didn't want it passed around. And so you said to them, well, I'm going to tell you this, but please be quiet. Don't tell another. But the news that you told them was so exciting to them as well that they wanted to spread it to someone else. And before too long, the secret that you wanted to keep was spread all about. Or perhaps you were on the other side of that. Perhaps you were the one guilty of not listening when a friend wanted you to keep something quiet. You just couldn't hold your tongue. The news was too exciting. You had to tell someone else. That's what we have going on here, is the crowds witness the amazing power of Christ. Even though Christ commanded them and charged them to be quiet, the more he charged them, the more they went forth, even more zealously, we're told here, proclaiming that Jesus did all things well. They were astonished at his power. They were amazed at the miracle that he had just performed in their midst. Matthew's gospel, in recording the events in this region, said that they glorified the God of Israel. They were proclaiming how wonderful Jesus was. They had never witnessed such things before. Well, what they beheld was the mighty power of the Son of God. And as we look at this episode, as Mark records it for us, I want to look at four things this morning. First of all, to look at the touch. We're told here that as he was returning from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis, that they brought him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. Now, it's obvious from what is recorded for us that he did not have this deafness from birth. It was not some birth defect, but something that must have happened early in his life, perhaps some sort of sickness that caused him to be deaf. Because he had the ability to speak, but he had a speech impediment. He wasn't able to speak well. Something had happened in his life to cause him to be unable to properly communicate, and the handicap was terrible. Now, we may think to ourselves, well, I think it would be easier to be deaf than to be blind. But I'm not sure that's the case. For a person who is both deaf and mute, unable to speak, the condition would have caused all sorts of social awkwardness. Unable to hear a question and unable to respond, especially if this man did not read lips. It could have been a great stigma attached to him as he saw people look at him and not understand what was coming forth from his mouth. Oh, how difficult it must have been for this one who was both deaf and mute. And his friends, those who loved him, brought him to Jesus. Hearing of the great things that Jesus had done, they brought him to Jesus and they begged him to lay his hand on him. They were pleading with Jesus. But Mark shows us in detail here that Jesus didn't do according to the way in which the crowds expected or the way in which those who brought him expected. Jesus deals with each one individually, doesn't he? He heals the way he's going to heal. He is personal in his approach. He chose his own method. Isn't that true? Jesus doesn't do things the way we necessarily expect them to be done, or even the way that we pray for them to be done. Have you ever had that happen? You've been praying for something, perhaps for a long time, persisting in prayer for something to happen, and then all of a sudden you awaken to the reality that the prayer has been answered, but not in the way you expected. So it was here. Jesus takes the man aside from the crowds. He takes him apart from the crowds, and he deals with him in his own way, according to his own method. Well, we might at first glance think the method is rather strange. We're told that he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. In our culture, we might step back from that and think, oh, what disease would be carried? What bacteria? May seem rather odd to us. But remember, the man could not ask, nor presumably could he understand what Jesus was saying. And so using his fingers, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears to instruct him that he was going to take care of his deafness. And he spit on the fingers and he put his fingers touching his tongue, indicating to him that he was going to be the one who was the source of his ability to communicate. Jesus was telling this one who had experienced social pain and humiliation and the stigma attached to his condition, that he was going to do something for him. And this great miracle that Jesus performed is a reminder to us. A reminder, as J.C. Ryle aptly points out, the Lord's power and ability not only to heal the physical, but the Lord's power and ability to heal the spiritually deaf. Raul says he can give the chief of sinners a hearing ear. He can make him delight in listening to the very gospel which he once ridiculed. He alone has the power to give hearing to the deaf. And He alone has the power to loose the tongue to sing His praise. Perhaps that's your testimony. No doubt it's all of our testimonies. But perhaps you fell into that camp of being one who ridiculed Christ, who didn't want to hear the gospel at all. But it is the power that Christ possesses to make the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And it came through a touch. But not only a touch, we see here that He looked to heaven. Notice, and verse 34, and looking up to heaven. We're reminded here of the sweet communion that Jesus had with His Father, the deep dependence upon the Father. How many times we read in the gospel that Jesus went and He retreated away from the crowds to pray? And one commentator said the only time in all eternity in which it was broken, this sweet communion between the Father and Son, the only time it was broken was when the Son became our sin bearer and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He expressed such sweet fellowship with the Father. And He looked up to heaven, indicating for us here not merely His dependence upon God, but the reality that the miracle that He was about to perform required divine power. This was no sleight of hand. This was no magic trick. The man who Jesus touched was going to be healed of his disability. But Jesus recognizes here that He depends upon the Father. And He declares to the man to whom He was going to heal that the origin of this great act was divine. Well, how important for us to recognize the significance of this simple act of looking up to heaven. I wonder how often in the midst of our daily lives we become so busy that we excuse our prayerlessness. We often treat it as the last resort, as the only option when everything else fails. We then look up to heaven and pray, when in reality, it should be the first thing that we do. And it should be something constant that we do. In his commentary, Kent Hughes says that prayerlessness is perhaps the number one sin of our culture. Well, that's hard to imagine. We might say it's sensuality, we might say it's materialism, but Hughes argues that it's prayerlessness. We have the needs of a dying world before our eyes. And are we turning to heaven? Do we say we're going to pray, or do we actually come in prayer before the Lord? How often it is that we find time to do so many things. Hughes says in his commentary, we find time to do the things we want to do. But the question is, do we find time for prayer? Perhaps you've heard John Piper has said that one of the greatest uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. How true it is, and Jesus reminds us. Jesus, the very Son of God, reminds us as He stands here before this one who is both deaf and mute, of His utter and complete dependence upon His Father. He looked up to heaven. And then He sighed with a deep sigh, a sigh not of frustration, I'm sure there are times when you're frustrated and you sigh. Or there's times when something requires great energy or perhaps great pain. I don't know, but I sometimes hear people as they get up from their chair sighing. The energy, the pain perhaps, the discomfort at times. But that wasn't the kind of sigh that Jesus uttered here. This was a sigh of great compassion for this one who was both deaf and mute. This was the sigh of the Son of God, who we're told when he went, having heard of Lazarus' death, and when he went to the tomb and saw Mary and the Jews who were coming weeping, he was troubled of spirit and he wept. This was the response of the Savior as he was making his way to Jerusalem to die upon a cross. This was the sigh of the one who wept over Jerusalem. And so we see the testimony here of Jesus, who cares and who is compassionate and who is gentle in his sighing for this one who was so afflicted. What compassion! What love, what tender mercy our Savior has. And friends, he has it no less for us and for all whom he saves by his grace. He sees us in our deepest hour of need. He comes to our assistance. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. And he sighs. Jesus, the Son of God, touches his ears and his tongue. He looks up to heaven. He sighs. And then he speaks. And we're told here that he spoke in his mother tongue, Aramaic. Ephphatha. Well, Mark translates it for us. Be opened. There could be no more joyous words for this deaf man when he heard than for these words to be spoken to him. Be opened. What a remarkable miracle. So remarkable that the crowds even cry out. They were so astonished, we're told here, beyond measure, that they said, he's done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Who else could do such a thing? There was no one else who was doing those things. That was the remarkable thing about this one and the remarkable thing which they saw. And they were so taken by Jesus' miracle that they were not able to keep silent. And the more he charged them, the more defiant they were. No doubt he wanted them to keep silent. We're not told here, but no doubt he wanted them to keep silent because the time for his death had not yet come and the opposition of his enemies was surmounting. But there's something else here, too, that's striking. As he tells them to be quiet. Because he wants them to see and he wants us to understand that he came not merely to perform miracles of a physical nature, but that he had come to bring an eternal redemption to all who would look to him by faith. Jesus was declaring to the crowds not simply that he had the power to heal deafness and muteness, not merely that he had the ability over such things, but that he has ability to transform the heart of stone and to make it into a heart of flesh. That he is the Redeemer of all who look to him by faith. These were merely signs. But the signs and miracles pointed to something far greater. That Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. You have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 35, because we're told that there. It's prophesied concerning Christ. I'm going to begin reading it in verse 4. Say to those who have anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Notice how Jesus fulfills this. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall there be any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. After everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee. He's the one who brings sight to the blind. He's the one who unstops the deaf ear, and he is the one who redeems his people and gives everlasting joy. Jesus wants us to see. He wanted the crowds to understand as they saw this great miracle that he is the source of everlasting salvation. It is in Jesus Christ alone that there is forgiveness. It is in Jesus Christ alone that there is wholeness. And indeed, though the crowds in defiance spoke of the great power of Christ, they understood quite well that Jesus does all things well. We may ask, why did this man suffer for so long? We don't know. We're not told. But one thing we know is that Jesus has the power. He has the power to bring us to heaven and to the dawning of the day when there will be no more suffering and no more sorrow, but joy everlasting. And then all of our suffering and all of our sorrow will be brought into clear perspective when we will be able to say with joy, he does all things well. Raoul says, we shall never see the full beauty of these words until the resurrection morning. And it's then that we shall look back over our lives and know the meaning of everything that happened from first to last. We shall remember all the way by which we were led. And confess that all was done well. Friends, let me ask you, has Jesus given you ears to hear? Has he brought the conviction to your heart? Has he loosened your tongue to confess that he does all things well? His full and sufficient atonement for sinners is accomplished. He said so on the cross when he said, it is finished. You know, it amazes me sometimes. Amazes me myself, and perhaps you're amazed at yourself, why we're often so hesitant to speak of the power of Christ. The crowds were forbidden from speaking, and yet they couldn't keep silent. And we are now on the other side of the cross. We know the great redeeming work of Christ, the matchless grace of His extraordinary power to all who believe, and yet often we remain silent. Well, may it be, friends, this day, that if you know Christ, that you do not hesitate to reach out to others with a touch of Christ, to show the touch of Christ to a dying world, that you look to heaven for those who are lost, that you show the great compassion of Jesus to those who are blind and deaf and unable to speak of the things of God, and that you speak forth with boldness and with great joy the good news that Jesus does all things well. And friends, that in your testimony you never be afraid to recognize that while there are many things in this world we do not understand, while this world is a world in which we are groaning in the pains of sin and death, that though we see in a mirror dimly, one day we will see face to face. And while we know in part, one day we will fully know as He has known us. Declare with boldness, with compassion, with great prayer, and touching the lives of others, proclaim Jesus does all things well. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, forgive us for our silence, for our prayerlessness, many times for our lack of compassion, and for our unwillingness at times to get involved in the lives of those around us. Help us to reach out. Help us to reach out and to touch. Help us to look up to heaven and to pray. Help us to sigh in our compassion for the needs of others. And help us to boldly proclaim that our Savior is a Savior who does all things exceedingly well. Bless us, we pray, through Christ our Savior. Amen.